And I'm glad the Lord, when He saved me, didn't leave me out there to be the Lone Ranger. And I remind some of y'all, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, amen? And you'll never make it on your own, but thanks be to God, He gives us somebody to run with, amen? I appreciate that. I do appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I love your preacher, and I love this church, and I thank you for your partnership, and I thank you for your help. Isn't it a blessing to know that we're not in this thing by ourselves? And some people act like they want to be in it by themselves, but I'll just be honest, I need you tonight. And I need somebody praying on my side, and I need somebody to give me I'm not a baby, but I need somebody to give me a little encouragement every now and then. And somebody said, well, you ought not brag on people. It'll give them the big head. Well, I promise you, the devil will pop that head quick enough. It'd probably be all right to encourage somebody every now and then. And I appreciate folks that God has given us that's on our side. Amen. If you will, take your Bible tonight and go to the book of Job and stand up with me. And I want you to go to chapter 1 and then we'll read some verses there. And then we'll read a couple of verses in chapter 2. And then I'll bring you the thought that the Lord has put on my heart. I appreciate some of the young folks from our church coming up with us tonight. And they filled up two cars to get here. And ain't it a blessing to be around young people that you don't have to drag to church, but they show up when it's church time. And listen to me, the devil is a liar. Matter of fact, the devil's a stinking liar. He's a low-down liar. And you don't have to have a rock band and a light show and a smoke machine. I promise you, young people are looking for the Lord tonight. And if He'll show up every now and then, if we'll get out of the way, these young people will want to find Him. And I believe that. And I appreciate these boys on the front row, and we got some girls here with us tonight. And thank God, we better hand this down to the next generation. We better get some of these young people around the things of God, because it won't be long, and they won't be young people. They'll be young married people. And then they'll be the pillars, and they'll be the ones carrying this thing. We better get them where the Lord is. Amen. Are you in Job chapter 1? If you are, say amen. Notice with me verse number 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. His sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Watch now, thus did Job continually. There are some things that take place in chapter 1. We find that destruction and death comes to his house. There is a great onslaught of suffering that settles into Job's life. Can I get a witness right there? We find that great loss in chapter 1 and in the first part of chapter 2. And I want you to look now in chapter 2 and verse number 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And here's my thought tonight. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Pray for me tonight. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for your goodness. And Lord, I'm thankful for your grace. Breathe on us now and help us say what needs to be said. May we have your unction. May we have your help. And I'll love you and I'll thank you. In Jesus' name, God's people say, amen. You may be seated. I find tonight that there is a story in our text about a man that knew something about being filled with the presence of God. Now, Job had a testimony that he was God's man. Job spoke with his mouth that he was God's man. Job certainly showed us in his activity that he was God's man. But there was a test in the life of Job that shows us that he not only said he was God's man, but it showed us he was God's man. Now, I'll be honest with you tonight, there's a whole lot of us that's got a mouth full of the Lord, but would to God we had a life full of the Lord. Amen goes right there. I was preaching up in Maryville, Tennessee this week, and in a youth meeting up there, and wonderful meeting, 300 or 400 teenagers there. And I'll just be honest with you, I know I'm the preacher, and I probably ought not confess things like this, but this having two preachers a night, and about halfway through that first preacher, my stomach would not let my spirit endure any more preaching. I mean, his are doing a good job, but all I could think about was a hamburger after church. Y'all ever been there? Don't look at me so religious. You ever been there where your stomach was overriding your spirit? I was sitting by a preacher buddy of mine, Brother Joe, and I leaned over to Brother Joe, and he's a, let me say this kindly, he's an abundant man. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? He's a blessed man. And Brother, I leaned over and I said, Joe, I said, I'm starving. I said, you got anything in your pocket? Because he's normally got something to eat tucked away somewhere. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. He reached in his suit coat and pulled out a pack of extra dessert delight. Chewing gum. Has anybody seen this? How many of you have never seen what I hold in my hand? I hadn't seen it till Tuesday. He pulled out a pack of extra dessert delight. And it's chewing gum that tastes like mint chocolate chip ice cream. I popped a piece in and I started a chewing it. And ladies and gentlemen, this is an abomination before God. And I'm going to tell you why. Preacher Ken, my mouth was tasting ice cream. My brain was tasting mint chocolate chip. My stomach was down there hollering and saying, hey, why y'all saving all that up there? Send something on down here. And I had a mouthful, but I was as empty as I was sitting there. Now I want to tell you something. If you're going to bring me mint chocolate chip, don't put it in no stick of sugar-free gum. Hallelujah, I'm a preaching right here. Bring me an old-fashioned. Don't bring me none of this sissy pipe business. Bring me an old-fashioned 1/2 gallon of Bluebell chocolate chip mint ice cream. Hallelujah. I promise you, this right here may get your taste buds a-going, but glory to God, this right here will get down inside of you. Y'all go home tonight and tell them, preacher preached on chocolate chip mint ice cream tonight. I was chewing this gum sitting in church thinking about how good my mouth was tasting but how empty my stomach was. And the Holy Ghost said, that sounds like a whole lot of Christians I know. Got a mouth full, but they ain't never had a belly full. Brother Ken, we got some good churches, some of the best churches I know of, but I wonder how many in here tonight has got a mouth full, but you haven't ever got a belly full. I would to God we'd get out of that little old stick of gum and get down there with a spoon and sit down in the floor and get full tonight. I went to Walmart 6:30 last night. I was going to preach on this morning. Went to Walmart 6:30 and bought me this 1/2 gallon tub. And I got back to the house. I told Miss Amy, I said, bring me a spoon. That thing's got to be empty by 10 o'clock. Amen. Boy, it's rough serving Jesus, but I pulled it off. Hallelujah. Let me help some of y'all with your New Year's resolutions. You talking about losing weight and saving money, reading through the whole Bible two times. Set some goals you can reach. My New Year's resolution, I'm going to gain 20 pounds by next year this time. I'm tired of setting the bar too high. Amen. You know where most of us hang out? Down there with a mouthful. You can talk it, you can speak it, you can sing it, you can praise it, but I got news for you. There'll come some days when you ain't gonna need a mouthful, you're gonna need a bellyful. Job was one of them that didn't just have it in his head. Thanks be to God, he had it in his heart. And I want to show you three things real quickly tonight. Number one, I want you to notice the loss that shook him. There was a loss in Job's life. The Bible says that Job was shaken in his family. And I've got one boy tonight, he's 8 years old, and I cannot imagine, I know some of you have probably had to walk that trail, but I cannot imagine laying down that little 8-year old boy. I cannot imagine what it would be like, the sorrow to lose him to death. But Job did not bury one. Oh, I'm a preaching tonight. When he went to the funeral home, he didn't pick out one coffin. He picked out 7 blue and 3 pink. And Job was shaken in his family as he laid his children in the grave. Probably no greater shaking we could ever experience than to lose a child. But Job was shaken in his family. Oh, I can't imagine grieving over one, but can you fathom tonight grieving over 10 at the same time? I mean, if you lost one, there'd be 9 others there to comfort you and love you and say, Daddy, we gonna miss them too. But Job didn't have anybody to turn to. He couldn't turn to another son. He couldn't turn to another daughter. He was shaken in his family. We see that in Job's testimony, he was shaken in his family. Then we find that he was shaken in his finances. The Bible says, we read it in verse 3, that all of his sheep and all of his camels and all of his oxen and all of his livestock, every bit of it was taken away. Here he is, the Bible says, verse number 3, that he was the greatest man in all the East. The wealthiest man probably on planet Earth at that time. Because the East is where all the activity, that's where civilization was at this point. Job was probably the wealthiest man on planet Earth. And in one 24-hour period, he is shaken in his family. And he buries all of his youngins. And then he is shaken in his finances. Loses everything that he's got. Loses everything that he's ever worked for. Loses all of his possessions. Here he is now with no family. And here he is now with no finances. That's not bad enough. The Bible indicates that the devil went back and said, Lord, he hadn't cursed you yet, but if you'll let me touch his body, I believe I can shake him up. And God said, go ahead and touch his flesh. And now he's shaken in his family, he is shaken in his finances, and now his flesh is shaken. And from the bottom of his feet all the way to the top of his head, he's covered in boils and his body is aching from top to bottom. Boy, listen to me. I don't know much about what I'm saying, but I know it's true that when you face financial or when you face physical problems and when you face health problems, it has a way of wearing on your soul and on your mind. He's already lost all of his children. He's already lost all of his wealth. And now he sits with broken body. And he is shaken in his flesh. Seem like old Job don't have anything else to lose. And then his quote unquote friends show up. Just when we didn't think it could get any worse, here comes his friends. And now this man that was shaken in his family, and he was shaken in his finances, and he was shaken in his flesh, he's now shaken in his friends. Didn't even stop by to encourage him. But they start to point out all of his faults. Start to tell him why he's in this situation. And they began to discourage old Job. And here he is shaken down to his core. I just want to stop and do a little preaching right here. I know that God is a good God. Somebody holler amen. But I also want to tell you that he did not promise us we would not face shaking in this life. Hey, God is good, but sometimes life is tough and we'll go through some hard times. Job is shaken down to the core of who he is. We see the loss that shook him. But I also notice that number two, there is a law that settled him. Chapter 1 in verse number 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. I like this word, and worshiped. I'll back up and read that again. And worshiped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Hallelujah, that Bible preaches good. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what the law was that settled Job? He didn't try to paint God in some little box. See, that's the problem with some of us, is we want to worship Him when everything's going good. But when things go bad, we want to sulk up and pout and drop out. I got news for you. I don't let my situations dictate what I believe about God. I let what I believe about God dictate what I believe about my situation. He's not good some days and bad some days. He's good all the time. Matter of fact, the old black preacher said, He ain't never been bad. Amen. He's just good because He's God, and that's what He does. Job said, there is a law that I've chosen to believe, and that law is this, is no matter what happens, blessed be the name of the Lord. Job said, God was good when I had 10 youngins, and now that they're gone, blessed be the name of the Lord. God was good when I was the wealthiest man on the planet. But now that I'm broke and don't have a thing, blessed be the name. I knew I'd lose some of y'all right here. Job said God was good when I was a walk in my fields and I was able-bodied. But now that I'm sitting down crippled and handicapped and hurting from head to toe, I still gotta say it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God was good when my friends loved me and they cheered me up. And they wanted to be around me. But now that they've all turned their back, there's a law that still settles my soul. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I like verse number 20. The Bible says that Job arose. I reckon he'd been taking all that news sitting down. I reckon when they came in, you ever had news so harsh that you had to find a seat to take it in? Doctor might have said, now, before we tell you this, I need you to find a seat. Somebody will call and say, before I tell you, are you sitting down? Brother Ken, no doubt that when they told him his youngins was dead, Job was sitting down. No doubt when they told him his wealth was gone, he was sitting down. But I like verse number 20. The Bible says, then Job arose. Some of y'all have been taking all that stuff sitting down, and it's about time that you got up. Well, I feel like preaching in here tonight. I don't care why you came. I came to tell you something tonight. They, some of you sat down on God. You sat down in the service of the Lord. You sat down in your worship. You sat down in your praise. You sat down in your giving. And you may have a good reason of why you sat down. But I come to tell you tonight, it's high time you stand up. Now watch me now. Then Job arose. Brother Ken, I know that he stood up physically, but I also believe, oh hallelujah. Is that as good out there as it is up here? I know he stood up physically, but I believe something down on the inside, old Job stood up. And he sat there long enough, and finally Job arose. And not only did he stand up in body, but he stood up down in the depths of his soul. And I want to show you what he did. Then Job arose. Look at the end of verse 20. Then Job arose and fell down. You know why some of y'all need to get up? So you can get back down. I'm going to equal opportunity preacher tonight. You know why some of y'all need to get up? So you can get down. You know why some of y'all need to get up? So you can get down. You know why some of y'all need to get up? So you can get down. Job didn't rise up and say, bless God, I'm going to handle this myself. I'm going to go whoop them Sabians. I'm going to go back to the market and buy me some more cattle. Job didn't rise up and handle it himself. Job got up just so he could get down. Job, the word worship, it means to fall flat on your face before God. Job got up just so he could get back down. And he laid out for God. Doesn't the Bible, Brother Ken, say something about humbling ourselves in the sight of the Lord? Doesn't it say something about if we lay ourselves down, He liable to come by and pick us up? Job said, I ain't going to let the devil knock me down. I'm just going to get down myself before he gets a chance to knock me down. Old preacher, Brother Pat McNair, we was sitting around, a bunch of young preacher boys sitting around, and one of them young preachers looked at Brother Pat, and he said, Brother Pat, he said, tell me. He said, how do I keep from falling? Brother Pat stood him up and said, son, get on your knees. That boy got down on his knees. He said, all right, now lay down on your face. That boy laid down on his face in that living room floor. Brother Pat said, all right, now go ahead and fall. He said, preacher, I can't fall. He said, that's exactly right. You know what Job did? He got up and he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And he got as far down as he could get. And he said, I may not understand this and I may not like this, but there's a law that I'm living my life by, that no matter what happens, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now I want you to watch thirdly what happens in Job's life. My real thought tonight is in verse number 8 of chapter 2. The Bible says, and he sat down among the ashes. Now, notice with me thirdly, the Lord that secured him. You see, the reason I mention those ashes is because in chapter 1 and verse 5, which we read, Job had made a sacrifice for sin. Is that what you read tonight? Job had made a burnt offering for sin. Job not only had a head full, but Job had a heart full. And Job had made a burnt offering for the sins of his family. And of course, in doing so, Deuteronomy teaches us, oh hallelujah, that if he was going to make an offering on their behalf, that he first had to make an offering on his behalf. And Job stood redeemed before the Lord because he placed his faith in the sacrificial offering that he had just made for his sin and for their sin. It was after that offering that the news came that his children had died. It was after that offering. Hallelujah, I'm about to tear something up here in a minute. It was after that offering that his flesh had fallen apart. It was after that offering that his finances had depleted. It was after that offering that his friends had turned against him. Brother Ken, he had lost everything he could lose. Couldn't lose any more children, didn't have any more. Couldn't lose any money because he didn't have any more. Couldn't lose his friends because he didn't have any more. Couldn't lose his health because he didn't have any more. You know what Job said? I've lost everything I can lose. And so, I'm going to go back. Oh, glory to God. He said, I done lost my family. I done lost my finances. I done lost my flesh. I done lost my friends. So I'm going to go back to the one thing that I cannot lose. Some of y'all figure that out in a minute. He said, I've lost it all. But I'm going to go back to the one thing that I cannot lose. What were those ashes? Deuteronomy said, I ain't going to take time to read it, but Deuteronomy said that after that burnt offering is given, he said to take those ashes and to sweep them up and let a clean man, Job was perfect and upright, Deuteronomy said, let a clean man take those ashes and set them outside the camp in a nice little pile. And Deuteronomy said, let them be a reminder that your sins are gone and that you are clean. You know what those ashes were? Those ashes were the reminder that Job was saved and clean and on his way to glory. And here's what he was saying by going to the ashes. I've lost my family, but I hadn't lost my salvation. I've lost my friends, but I'm still born again. I've lost my flesh, and I've lost everything I can lose. But there's one thing that I can't lose. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. And since I don't have all of that, I'll just go sit in what I do have. Now that ain't helping some of y'all tonight, because you've got life by the tail. And everything's panning out just right for you. But listen to this little country preacher. There'll come a time when your family will not be enough. I love my wife tonight. I love my boy tonight. But there'll come a time when your family will not be enough. I thank God I got a roof over my head. I thank God I got clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. I got up this morning, had to pick between Cheerios and cornflakes. God's been good to me. Amen. I'm blessed. I got a church to go to. I've got friends that love me. But all of those things are temporary, and there may come a day when I don't have them. But when that day comes, I'm still saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved, and I know that I am. Y'all doing all right tonight? Job's wife said, dost thou still retain thine integrity? You know what that word means? It means innocence. Job's is sitting in the ashes. And she walks out and looks at those ashes. She looks at Job, and here's what she said. You really think you're still innocent in the sight of God? He's sitting in the mat. Looking, that's all he had left was ashes. She said, you think those ashes are still covering your soul? You think when God looks at you, He still sees your innocence because of those ashes? And Job said, you speak like a foolish woman. He said, because do we expect just good from God? He said, we're going to have some bad. But there's one thing about it, good or bad. We can rest in the fact that we know, that we know, that we know, that we know that we're born again. I preached at a little church down in Perry, Florida, right there in North Florida. I was their interim pastor. My preacher told me later, I was proud of that. I said, I'm an interim pastor. He told me later, that just means you'll do till they can find a real one. Amen. I was interim pastor for about 6 months. And there was a fellow in that church, Brother James Hires. Brother James was over a forestry department of Mead down there in all that North Florida swamp and all those pine trees. Brother Hires told me this. He would train those guys for firefighting in that swamp and in those pine thickets. Hallelujah. Brother Ken, here's what he told me. He said, that fire's a burning. He said, and if the wind shifts, he said, that fire can outrun you flat-footed if the winds are blowing just right. He said, and here's what we tell those young men that we train to fight fire. He said, we tell them that if the wind shifts and if the fire is coming at them, I wish somebody else was preaching right now. He said, we teach them to find somewhere that's already been burnt. He said, we teach them to find some ground that's already black. We teach them to find some ashes that's already formed. He said, boys, if you can get to the ashes of yesterday's fire... Oh, y'all ain't hearing me tonight. I know it's Sunday night, but wake somebody up and tell him he's about to say something right now. Brother James said, if you can find the ashes of yesterday's fire, then today's fire will not hurt you. Fire can't burn in the same place twice. He said, if you'll just find somewhere where it's already burnt and just lay down, he said, that flame will pass right over you. He said, and you won't even so much as get singed. He said, because fire can't burn where it's already burned. You know what Job did? Woo, hallelujah. Everything in his life was getting consumed with fire. His children was getting burned up. His money was getting burned up. His relationship with his wife was getting burned up. His own flesh was being consumed with the fiery trial. But Job said, blessed be the Lord. I know there's one place I can go where the fire can't touch me, because the fire's already been there. And Job laid down in the sacrifice of his salvation. I want to tell you why I'll never taste one flame of hell. Because I'm standing in a place that's already been burnt. If you're looking for a place to shout, that's a pretty good one right there. Brother Ken, I'll never taste the charred walls of the damned, because I'm standing in a place where the fire's already burned. I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm saved and I know that I am. You know how I know that? Because on a hill called Calvary, 2,000 years ago, the flame of God's judgment fell and scorched the thrice holy Savior, who knew no sin but became our sin. And I'm saved and I'm in Christ tonight. And I'm standing in a sacrifice that's already been received. And I'll never be burned, because I'm standing where it already has been. Listen to me, God's been good to us tonight. But I'm glad we can say like Job, if I lose my family, and I love them, but if I lose them, I can still say I'm saved. I thank God He's been good to me financially. But if I'm sleeping under a bridge tomorrow night, and I don't have a pair of shoes to put on, Brother Ken, I stand, I may be, my knees may be knocking when I say it, but I could say I'm still saved. I've had folk walk away from me that I never thought would leave me. But I'm glad that when friends forsake us, we can stand up and say, glory, I'm still saved. They, some of y'all and some of us will go there, and some of you already have, that have been down to the place where cancer or leukemia or disease has attacked your body. But blessed be the name of the Lord, you can sit in the ICU unit and you say, this body may be failing and my health may be frail, but blessed be the name of the Lord, I'm still saved and I'm still headed for glory. That fire cannot take that away. He sat down in the ashes. You know why? His only thing he had left was his salvation. But I'm glad to know that that's one thing that cannot be taken away. So you sound like one of them once saved, always saved preachers. You better believe I am. Honey, when you doubt the sufficiency of God to save your soul eternally, you're not doubting your wicked self. You're doubting the sovereign hand of God. I'm not saved tonight because I'm good. I'm saved tonight because I've entered into a holy covenant with a God that cannot lie. We may lose it all. Listen, we're facing some dark days in this country. And there's no... Listen, if we knew how close we were to collapse in this country, I promise you, you wouldn't breathe as easy as you are right now. We've got a mindset, we think it's always going to be like it's always been, and we're not promised that. But I promise you this, no matter what we lose, no matter what changes, we can still stand in those ashes and say, glory be to God. I'm saved, and I know that I am. I wonder if you stand up with me all over the building tonight. Brother Jared, can he come, preacher, and do something?